Hosea 7:13, woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. I want to conclude the series that I've been preaching on Hosea. I want to do that this morning, and we're going to look at running from God. Before we get into that, it's good to see everyone that was able to make it out this morning. This evening, I am planning on a lesson. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I was going to do that one this morning, but hopefully some of the snow clears and we have a few more people able to get out this evening. Hopefully you'll like both the lessons, but yes, I have a good inheritance. I'm looking forward to preaching that one this evening. So to review a little bit about what we have been looking at in the book of Hosea. So Hosea is the story of God's love for his disobedient children. And we see the whole Bible story in the book of Hosea. We see sin, a willful disobedience of man to the word and the will of God. We see judgment, paradise lost, sown wind, reap the whirlwind. Chapter 8, verse 7. We see love, the love of God and the victory he offers. And it is a great love story between God and Israel. And Israel being unfaithful and God punishing Israel because of that. In Jeremiah chapter 3, we read, "Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery." And see, God looked at Israel as his wife. "I put her away and had given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also with stones and trees," talking about worshiping idols. And in Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." You see, God's great love that he had for his people. He thought of himself as their husband, but they were unfaithful to him. Verse 33, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Where he is speaking of that new covenant, the coming of the Messiah, that we can be part of that covenant. When we look in the book of Hosea and we see how Hosea referred to some of the symbols of sin that his people were doing, we see them referred to as an adulterous wife, a wine-inflamed drunkard, a backsliding heifer, a troop of robbers, adulterers, hot as an oven, a cake not turned, they're half-baked. They're like a silly dove, like a deceitful bow, swallowed up, a vessel wherein is no pleasure, a wild ass. And there are several more, but we see it's very descriptive language of their sinful nature. We saw how this is the story of God's love for his disobedient children. Chapter 1, verse 2, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go and take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." Faith, unfaithfulness over and over and over. Then we looked at the danger of ignorance. Chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." And friend, that warning still applies today. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We have to be a people of the book. In our last lesson from Hosea, we looked at a call to repentance. "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. And here we see this call to repentance and this hope of things to come. And this hope is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. Speaking of on this third day, he will raise us up. That's when the blessings are really going to come. And he will come to us like the rain. They had been so dried up from sin, so scorched, so parched, so barren. But when Christ comes, it's going to be like the rain coming down and watering the ground, and it's going to come back to life. So we talked about this great warning, unless you repent, you will perish. That was in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. How did this warning come about? Well, again, we know from God sending his people into captivity and then just showing that they were, that God was their God. He told them how long they were going to be there. And after that, then I'm going to bring you out and you're going to return and establish worship again. So this morning we are looking at running from God. Let's read together in Hosea chapter 7. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered and the wickedness of Samaria. For they have committed fraud. A thief comes in. A band of robbers take spoil outside. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. They make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lies. They are adulterers, like an oven heated by a baker. He ceases stirring the fire after kneading the dough until it is leavened. In the day of her king, princes have made him sick, inflamed with wine. He stretched out his hand with scoffers. They prepare their heart like an oven while they live in wait. Their baker sleeps all night. In the morning, it burns like a flaming fire. They are all hot like an oven and have devoured their judges. And the kings have fallen. None of them calls upon me. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him, yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. But they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. Wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chastise them according to their congregation as heart has heard. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction of them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They did not cry out to me with their heart when they wailed upon their beds. They assemble together for grain and new wine. They rebel against me. Though I have disciplined and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword, their cursings of their tongue, yet there shall be derision in the land of Egypt. You talk about a sad group of people and all the things that they had done against God. And he says, I would have healed them. I would have healed them, but look at what they've done. And just looking at a couple verses here, there's a sevenfold complaint in verses 13 through 15. They have fled from me. They have transgressed against me. They have spoken lies against me. They have not cried unto me. They've rebelled against me. They have imagined mischief against me. They return, but not to me. So Israel is in a sad state, and they continue running from God. Going back to verse 1, this chapter deals with the iniquity and the rebellion of northern Israel, referred to as Ephraim. Ephraim being the largest and dominant tribe, and Samaria being the capital city, the residence of their king, and location of the principal commercial enterprises of the country. In verse 2, it says, they do not consider in their hearts. You see, the people approach God as though he were just some pagan deity, some idol, totally indifferent to God. And they had forgotten all the great things that he had done, all of their history, where they were taken into captivity into Egypt, and he brought them out of captivity, all the miracles that were performed day after day. They had forgotten that they were God's own people. They had it all, and they turned their back on God. In verse 3, they make a king glad with their wickedness. They are not following after God. They are following after men. They're all adulterers, like an oven heated by a baker. He ceases stirring the fire after kneading the dough until it's leavened. These, from what I read, these ovens were like this clay structure, and they would build a fire inside and heat it up. Then they would take that fire, that wood or the coals out, and they would put the bread in there in that heated oven to go ahead and rise. Sometimes if they left those coals in there, they might do something, and you'd see those coals flame up. If you have a wood fireplace, or you've had a fire outside at night, we're familiar with that. And it's unpredictable. That's how God's people were. They were unpredictable. They are all hot, verse 7, like an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings have fallen. None of them calls on me. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. And this charge against Ephraim mixing himself among the people, this is a serious charge. God had specifically commanded them not to intermingle, not to marry the pagan nations that they were driving out of Canaan. There are seven different nations. He said, don't take wives from any of those people. They were to kill them all. They were to drive them out. They didn't do that. And they not only did not do what they were told to do, but they married the women that God told them not to. He mixes himself among the peoples. The very purpose of the children, the chosen people, was to be segregated from these false idols, for these false gods. So you think about it. All of these inhabitants, they believed in multiple gods. They had gods for this and that and one thing and another. They had a lot of gods. You contrast that to the God of Israel. God is the only one true God. So when God's people married with these pagan people, they brought idolatry into Israel. They brought idolatry into. In Psalm 106 in verse 35, we have this spelled out. They were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Thus they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. God made it plain to them when they went in what they were to do. And sometimes we think we might know better than God. Sometimes we might think what God says is going to apply to somebody else, but not me. And here we see that their thinking led them into captivity. Ephraim is a cake not turned. It's a metaphor of a flawed personality. The way we say that today is somebody's half-baked. They've got some half-baked idea. Ephraim was burned on one side, raw on the other. Have you ever cooked anything in a skillet and you have the temperature turned up so you can cook a little bit faster, and you walk away and you come back and one side is burned and the other side hasn't gotten any heat. That's the way Israel was. They were good for nothing. They were cooked by heathenism, but uncooked, raw in their relations with God. Verse 9, aliens have devoured their strength. Verse 10, the pride of Israel testifies to his face. And with all of these complaints, Israel didn't think about returning to the Lord. They had been warned over and over, and you see God's long-suffering. Ephraim is like a silly dove. Without sense, they call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. This is, you get this picture in your mind. They're going, Israel is like a dove going back and forth from one country to another, like a foreign diplomat, like, look at us, we're big, like a silly dove. And what is God doing? It's like God is waiting there with a shotgun to shoot down that silly dove. He's going to teach him a lesson. Woe to them, verse 13, they have fled from me, destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. So we see this sevenfold complaint in these verses. But let's look and see what the Lord has done for them. He says, I have redeemed them. Think of their wretched condition in Egypt. He redeemed them out of the house of slavery. He manifested himself to them. He has done so much for them. We see what the Lord has done for them, that is throughout their history. Well, let's see what they did with the Lord. What did they do? They fled from him. And you know, you think about fleeing from the Lord, it's impossible to do that. Because the Lord can see wherever we go. He can see everything. But in their heart, they had tried to flee from God. What did they say about him? They have spoken lies against me, in verse 13. Those who flee from the mercy of God are likely to think and speak lies about him. You know, God did this, he didn't do this for me. You see somebody leave the Lord and they blame God. Is God to blame for somebody leaving the Lord? No. But that's what Israel did. That's what most people do. They'll point the finger back to God. They were saying, you can just read and hear of these people that have no appreciation for God. God does not love us. God does not love us. Some people say they need to make themselves better before they come back. Friends, that's a lie that Satan tells us. We need to come back to God. Some people will say the death of Christ was not for them. Sure, that person, they can obey God, but I can't. And I've heard people tell me, you don't know what I've done. And then they tell me, and it's like, I'm not good enough to be saved. Friend, that's a lie that Satan tells us. Some people say their sins are too many to be forgiven. They just go on and on about that. They'll say, God didn't answer my prayer. They'll say that God is not able to keep me from falling. You know, I try to do right, but I just keep falling. See, they made all kinds of accusations about God, and it's basically the same thing that we hear people say today. What are they doing? Are they trying to make their life right with God? No, they're trying to run away. They're trying to run away from God and do anything that they can to justify their actions. Well, let's see where they go to flee from the Redeemer. Look at verse 13. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. Where can we run from the Lord? It's going to be a place of grief and misery and destruction. Where can we go when we run away from the Redeemer? We're going to run into the arms of Satan. He's going to be waiting for us. And then he's going to tell us lie after lie after lie to keep us. All peace and fellowship is with our Redeemer. Our Redeemer, just like going back to this comparison, God redeemed Israel, his bride, and brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. Christ, our Redeemer, redeems us and brought us out of the bondage of sin. Why would we run from our Redeemer and go back into destruction? How are they described? Like a silly dove. That dove that goes from here to there, and all the time, God is waiting to bring destruction on that dove. To flee from God is to flee into danger. And it's just silliness and foolishness. Friend, we must learn not to run away from God, but we must learn to run to God. There are so many lessons to learn in the book of Hosea. Again, it's a miniature Bible of the love of man departing from God, God's call to bring them back. They didn't learn this lesson. Friends, we need to learn this lesson and understand that God is the one and only true God. He's not just a God like the world looks at all of these other gods. It's God or nothing. And we are going to stand before God one day, as we talked about in Bible class, and when Christ comes back, he's going to come back in flaming fire with his mighty angels taking vengeance on those who know not God and who do not obey the gospel. And friends, we are all going to recognize that he is God and Lord. And we are told that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Friends, don't wait till it's too late. We need to obey God today. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.